The night my father left us, I was in their room. Whether I'd come in to see what the noise was about, or whether I was just in there when the noise started, I do not know, and my mother does not remember. She was sitting on the bed and crying and shouting, and my father was angry. Though I have never been able to recall the actual sound of his voice, I know that it was of average pitch and warm, but this night it had an added intensity. As the row went on, no one seemed to notice I was there. I stood motionless, watching these two people shout and plead and deny and assert in a tableau that I had never witnessed before. "You dropped the letter behind my back," wept my mother. My father just stood there, pale, with thunder in his eyes, and his brown skin looked yellow in the light from the 40-watt filament in the clear glass bulb that lasted for years afterwards. Its curly red image of points hung like a crown between the two terminals inside the vacuum. Suddenly, he seemed to notice me for the first time. As my mother's body shook with sobbing, he turned and grabbed the door handle. "I'm leaving," he shouted. "Frank," cried my mother. There was a mighty slam of the heavy front door before a deafening silence, as we waited for a change of heart and direction. It did not come. And with a huge, desperate sob, my mother collapsed on the bed and cried and cried. Hardly able to take it all in, I crawled up onto the bed, the strange feel of the knitted spread in blue with brown and white stripes, feeling comfortless to my skin as my mother seemed to be burying herself deeper and deeper into it. I reached over her back, her feet still dangling over the side of the bed, and said, "Don't worry, Mummy, I'll look after you." As I uttered the words, I was surprised by the way it sounded, for as they were being said, I really meant it. After they'd been spoken, I realized the enormity of the statement, and it made my mother cry even more, and that in turn made me cry. Bruce slept through it all.